Brother Clarence Ross Jr. Is a Houston, Texas native and began his ministry there at the North Wayside Church of Christ. And he has served as a public school teacher and administrator and is now the senior minister at Avenue F Church of Christ in Plano. And Clarence is a devoted husband to Ashley and father to the three C's, Claire, Caleb, and Carly. And he has degrees from Southwestern Christian College and Houston Christian University. And so we know that he's going to bring wisdom and heart to this message. And we are blessed to have him with us tonight. And I want to pray for Clarence, so I'll invite him up here to join me. And we will pray for our class and over him tonight. And so I know that you guys will welcome him after he is done and get to know him a little bit. But let's go to our Father in prayer. God, thank you so much for a place to meet where we can reflect on you and fall more in love with you. God, give us open ears and open heart to this message. And I pray for Clarence. God, fill him with your spirit. Speak through him. And God, may we be receptive to your word this evening, God. Bless us as we leave this place. And God, help us to pour ourselves out and pour your spirit out for those that we come into contact with. God, we're so thankful for your spirit. We're thankful for Jesus. In his name, we offer up our thanks, our praise, and this prayer. Amen.
All right, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we certainly rejoice, and I pray that we are glad in it. So thankful to God for this great opportunity to be able to share the word of God with you. Thankful to your wonderful, wonderful minister and my friend, Brother Wes McAdams, for this great invitation to come over and share. And I'm not sure if it's a blessing or a curse to be the first speaker in your summer series, but I take the invitation with grace, and I'm so thankful to him, as well as to your elders as well, for such a great occasion as this. I'm thankful to you. I'm also thankful to my Avenue F family for joining us on tonight. If Avenue F, would y'all stand up? I want to make sure I know where my amens come from tonight. Amen. 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 Avenue F. Amen. God bless you. God bless every single one of you. And I'm thankful. I'm so thankful. Y'all hear me preach. Y'all just heard me Sunday, and you came over to hear me on tonight. I'm thankful for you. Tonight, in our time together, I want to bridge two texts together. And so, if you would please turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 16. And then I want to do what I've been assigned in Genesis chapter 1. And trust me, I promise you it'll make sense here in a moment. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. If you're able and you're willing, would you please stand for the reading of the word of God? Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. I'm sure if they have it, but if you have the Message Bible, I'm going to read this from the Message, and then I'll read Genesis chapter 1 from the New American Standard Bible. Amen. Amen. Daniel 3:16. If you have that, say amen. I'm in the Message Bible. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered King Nebuchadnezzar. I like how Eugene Peterson puts this. Your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, watch this, the God we serve can rescue us from your roaring furnace and anything else you might cook up, O king. Is that in your Bible? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 through verse 3 in the New American Standard Bible. My assigned text for tonight. Sorry for reading three verses, because honestly, I just need three words. Amen. It's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. This is really the only three words I need. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. I want to tag this text with the title in our time together, McDermott Road, Our God Can. Yeah. Our God Can. Rest in your seat tonight. You've been awesome. Our God. Brother Bats, he can. Our God can. Have you ever asked yourself why the creation story in Genesis was written? Some would suggest that it was written as a refutation against scientific claims of creation. Others would suggest it was simply written to make sense of our world's origin, but more specifically, human origins. Yet, church, according to Walter Brueggemann in the Interpretation Commentary, Brueggemann says this, that the book of Genesis is believed to be written around the 6th century BC, and it was written to people in exile. Well, let's do some Bible history very quickly. Church, in 605 BC, Judah was besieged, and many of the young men were taken into Babylonian captivity. And among the exiles were some Hebrew boys that you all know the names of. That's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and y'all know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That is, despite the constant warning of God's prophets, the people of God were disobedient to their God. And as a result, God allowed the Babylonians to take some of them into Babylonian captivity. Now, I want you to do something for a moment. Imagine how you would feel if you were taken from your homeland and made a captive in a foreign land. Think, how would you feel? Well, I have a few emotions tonight. Perhaps knowing you were taken from your land and brought to a foreign land, perhaps you might be discouraged. Perhaps you might feel defeated. Perhaps even there would be some depression, some disheartenment. And even, I feel this is the big one, I believe that you would feel even abandoned by God. Do y'all see the picture now? That Genesis is written because it appears on the surface tonight, McDermott wrote, that the Babylonian God seemed to have defeated the God of Israel. And it is in the wake of their discouragement that Genesis suggests to them and even to us tonight that despite your circumstances, God has everything under control because God is in control. I just preached better than y'all saying amen. Let me do it one more time. I said that despite your circumstances, God has everything under control because God is in control. To disparage exiles, I think you would agree now that this is an encouraging reminder that they have a God that is not only responsible for creation, but their God is also responsible for managing all of creation. They discovered that even those that for a moment ruled over them had a God that ruled over them. It's Jerry Bridges, and I say this and I quote, Jerry Bridges says this as we transition into this sermon. That, he says, which should distinguish the suffering of believers from unbelievers is the confidence that our suffering is under the control of an all-powerful and an all-loving God. Our suffering has meaning and purpose in God's eternal plan, and God either brings or allows trouble to come into our lives, only trouble that is for his glory, but also trouble that will ultimately lead to our good. Church, tonight, guess what? I have learned that disappointments in life are not reserved for the elderly. Being disappointed by life is not even reserved for the young or even anyone in between. But church, disappointment in life is the common experience of every single human being. Everybody in here tonight knows what it is to be exhausted by life, to be disappointed by life. And as we are exhausted and disappointment, even tonight, some of you came in here at your wit's end. And guess what? Everybody came here looking for an answer. Because everybody in here would declare, Brother Ross, my life shouldn't be like this. Brother Ross, I never thought that I would have to experience this season in my life. Some of y'all came in here tonight unemployed. Some of you came in here tonight with not a negative, but rather a positive diagnosis. Some of you came in here with wayward children that have walked away from the way in which you have raised them. Some of you are walking into a home that you know that the love has been lost, and some are walking into an empty home where love has never been found. And just like those in Babylonian captivity, you and I, if we are not careful, can feel abandoned by God. Lord, have mercy. This text makes the claim, look, work with us, Jesus. This text makes the claim that the Word of God is capable of altering the trajectory of any circumstance that we find ourselves inside of. And I got this word for you tonight. If somebody walks away tonight and they say, what did that preacher from Avenue F talk about? Here it is. He told us that the next time you are faced with a disappointment in your life, I want for you to remember these two words. God said. Yes, Lord. The challenge in the text comes when you recognize that our English translations, as a matter of fact, as a boy, and as quoting this text, our English translations, as you know, commonly read these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That translation, specifically in the King James Version of Scripture, is responsible, y'all, for there being other schools of thought that it appears, did it not? In the beginning, God created. That translation has brought about other schools of thought that it appears that God randomly appears at the beginning, that God is created along with creation. But I found that a better translation should read this way, that God was creating in the beginning. This sort of rendering does not give space for that kind of school of thought, because it shows emphatically, watch it, that God did not appear at the beginning, but rather God, the God of creation, precedes the beginning. The word beginning, church, tonight is used, and it has reference to the initiation of time. That's why the Bible says in the beginning, because before there was a beginning, time did not exist. It was not until God says, let there be, that time comes into being, meaning that God precedes the function of time. This leads me tonight to conclude, y'all, that if God precedes the beginning, then time did not start until the beginning. Then God is not contained by time. Time is contained by God. I'm doing it one more time, because that was good to me. Let me do it one more time. It is. I said, God is not contained by time, but time is contained by God. And understanding that God is a transcendent God helps you and I in our moments of need, does it not? Because you and I can only live in the present. Because we exist inside of time. But God's presence prior to time indicates that God is not confined by time, but God controls time. And because God controls time, watch this, y'all, because God controls time, wherever God is coming, he's already been. And where he was, he is. Because God does not exist in then, now, or will be, but God exists in the perpetual present. Which simply means this, y'all, that God exists in what's called the isness. God just is. If you haven't got it yet, you should get excited about the idea that God exists in a perpetual isness. Here it is. Because if God is not bound by time, then when it seems like you're running out of time, God is saying, I'm just getting started. Don't you ever approach God like God is on your time, like God is going to run out of time, that if God doesn't show up when you think he should, then he's going to come too late. God says, don't get it twisted. I'm not you, and you're not me. You exist inside of time, so you are limited. But I am able to be in the past, the present, and the future, not one at a time, but all Lord have mercy. At the same time, Lord have mercy. Preach, Brother Ross, I'm trying. The idea of God creating, is it not, y'all, an amazing thought? The Hebrew word, y'all, for God created is a Hebrew word, bara. Bara is an interesting word in the Hebrew. Here's why. Because bara, the verb, is always the subject. Excuse me. God is always the subject of the verb bara. Meaning, because God is always the subject of the verb, then the activity of creation is exclusive to God. Another verb, there was another one that could have been used, is the verb in our English translation, God made. But did y'all notice the Bible didn't say God made heaven and earth? It says God created heaven and earth. And do you know why it doesn't say God made? Because whereas bara is exclusive to God, asa or make includes human beings. So that we as humans don't get confused with who we are, the writer made sure to say, no, y'all asa, but God is able to bara. Amen, somebody. And that is the defining difference between asa and bara, is that when God creates, God is not confined to using pre-existing material. But when God creates ex nihilo, meaning that God is able to start with nothing and create everything. That's why in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, this is God's initial confrontation with chaos. And God is able to take chaos and turn everything into cosmos. Let me say it this way. There was a gentleman, can you believe it? He tried to test God. And he said, God, you can create, but I also can create. He stood with God face to face and said, God, you're not the only one that can create some stuff. I can create as well. And God says, okay, let's put one another to the test. So the gentleman said, God, you create. And God reaches down into the dirt. God is able to form man and man from the dirt and then form woman from the rib of the man. And then God says, here's my creation. Now where's yours? The gentleman reached down into the dirt. God said, put that down. Because that's my dirt. Amen, somebody. That's it right there. What do I mean when I say God is able to create, y'all? What I simply mean is that whenever you create, you always have to use that which is already in existence. But in the beginning, when God created, God was able to reach into nothing. And everything that you and I see in the world is a direct reflection that God was able to take nothing and make everything. Amen, somebody. I don't know about y'all, but I think now I have something to hang my hat on. Because what do depressed people need? What do oppressed people need? What do suppressed Hebrews need? They need to know that I serve a God that not only can create from non-existing material, come here somebody, but the word bara not only means that God can create something out of nothing, but it also includes that God can take something and recreate. That is, that God can recreate existing material for his own purpose. Why do you need that tonight, McDermott Road? So when I am in a season where I feel abandoned, I can take solace that God knows what I am experiencing. And God is able to take it into his hands and create my negative situation into a situation that brings him glory. Now, how does God recreate my situation to bring him glory? Well, the text says, didn't you hear it? God saw that the earth was formless and void, and darkness covered the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. I told you, it's just a few words that you need. And God said, meaning that for creation to take place. Hear this carefully. For creation to take place, all God did was start speaking. I don't know if y'all got that one or not. You ain't talking back to me right. I said, for everything to be made, family, go back and read Genesis 1 at your leisure, and you know what you'll see over and over? And God said. And God said. And God said. Meaning that for creation to take place, all God had to do was start speaking. If we combine these ideas together, that means that God uses nothing and he makes everything, not by physically touching it, but all he has to do is start speaking. And when God starts talking, things that were not in existence came into existence. Things that were accustomed to operating out of order had to come into order, because when God speaks, his creation must listen. This is what the Hebrews writer was getting at in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 3 when he says these words, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, when the Bible says, for when they maintain this, it escapes their notice, that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. Family, the idea that God speaks everything into creation illustrates that God has authority over all creation. This is why often when you see Jesus bringing order into people's lives, haven't you? Sometimes you see Jesus, what? Touching people. But other times you don't see him touching people. Sometimes all it takes is Jesus speaking. And that which is out of order must come back in order. Y'all act like I'm not preaching. Can I give it to you very plainly? It's right there, y'all. Don't you remember when those sisters said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. It's their brother Lazarus, y'all. And Jesus says, listen, I hear what you're saying, but your brother shall live again. And it was that sister that said these words. We know that we're going to see him again at the resurrection. Don't y'all remember Jesus? He says, baby, you don't know who you're looking at. I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He says, show me where you buried him. Hold up. Jesus, that man, he been dead now. He been in there 4 days, Lord. Lord, you know, in this hot Judean sun, locked up in that tomb. Lord, ain't no telling what he smells like. I didn't ask you what it smells like. I didn't ask you what it looks like. I said, show me where you laid him. They bring Jesus over to the tomb, and Jesus says, remove the stone. Jesus looks up at that tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. And wouldn't y'all know that out of a tomb comes a man that just a few moments ago was dead? How did he get up, Brother Batts? Because all God got to do is start speaking, and stuff got to start moving. And here's what I love about that text. Here's what I love about that text. I'm glad he said Lazarus by name. Because if he would have just said, get up, then everybody, yes, Lord, would have got out the grave. It reminds me, John chapter number 4, when that centurion had that sick son. You remember that story? And he said, Lord, come where my son is, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, what you mean, if I can? Everything is possible to those that believe. And he says, listen, I don't have to go. All I got to do is speak. And Jesus said, man, go home and your son will be well. And the man on his way, his friends come and they say, don't bother him because your son is better. When did he get better? When the Lord spoke the day before. That's all I'm trying to tell y'all tonight. Listen, Arthur Marshall, as I close tonight, says these words. Lord have mercy. Arthur Marshall Shelley, he says these words, and I quote, Lord help him. He suffered, y'all, the loss of two of his children. And in Leadership Magazine, he wrote that even as a child, he loved to read. And he quickly learned as a child loving to read that even in most novels, and as many of you who read know, that often authors will leave you confused in the opening chapters. Because the opening chapters, y'all know, is where characters are introduced. It's where, if you will, seemingly random, unintertwined, unrelated events begin to take place. It's where the subplots in each character's life begins to shape, but it doesn't seem to have any relation to the main plot of the story. Come here for a moment. But he said this, as a child I learned, don't stop reading in the first three chapters. He said, I learned that if you really want to see the story, you got to keep on reading. He says, why do you got to keep on reading? He says, because you know that a good author by the end of the story will weave all of the pieces together by the end of the book. And every piece of the story that you didn't understand why it was even mentioned begins to come together. And he says, watch it, based on that reality, I learned that even when I could not explain why a chromosomal or abnormality would develop in my son that would prevent him from living on earth for less than 2 minutes, even when I can fathom my daughter who had to endure seizures for 2 years of her life that resulted in a profound case of mental retardation and continual seizures that eventually took her life. Come here. He says, I choose to trust that before the book closes, I serve a God that will make all these things clear. Woo! Somebody in this room needs to know that before your book is closed, God will make it clear why you had to experience that unemployment. God will make it clear why you're having to endure these health concerns. God will make it clear that he can protect you. He can protect your child while they're away in a far away country. God can rekindle the love that's in your relationship and make it burn hotter than it ever was before. Don't be discouraged tonight, McDermott Road. But just keep on reading. Don't lose hope tonight, y'all. Just keep on reading. Because I know that God is able to make all things work together for good for them that love the Lord, those that are called according to his purpose. The next time anybody in here gets discouraged, here's your word. God said. And if God said then and everything came into order, then all I need God to do is speak now. Don't you ever get to a point in your life where you stop reading. I'm not talking about a physical book. I'm talking about the book of your life. Don't you ever get to a point where you say, I'm tired of reading. I don't know how this is going to work out. God sent me from Avenue F to tell everybody in here tonight, you keep on reading. You know why? Because your story is not over. I said keep on reading because your story is not over. And that which makes no sense to you now, here's your shout, that you serve a God that not only can bring something out of nothing, but you serve a God that all he has to do is speak and that which is must get back in order. Amen. Tonight, you came in depressed. You came in suppressed. You came in discouraged. You came in with a sense of fear. You come in tonight. Preach, I barely made it, and I didn't know why the Lord sent me to this place on tonight. And God sent you here to remind you that God said that all he has to do is speak. And I don't know about you, but that brings me confidence in my walk with God, that I serve a God that is so powerful that all he has to do is speak. And because all he has to do is speak, let's take some time and speak with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, we approach you tonight. We don't approach you, Lord, as having figured it all out, having the answer to everything in our lives. But Father God, rather, we approach you understanding that when things in our lives are out of control, that you're able to bring them back into control. Lord, tonight I pray for that couple that it appears like the fire is gone. And I ask you, Lord, to allow that fire to burn hotter now than it did before. Lord, there's someone here tonight that has a child that they raised the best that they could, and that child is living a life that does not bring honor and glory to you. And I ask you, Father, would you speak in that situation? Father, there are those in here right now that have issues going on in their body, and Lord, some of them know the diagnosis, and some of them, the doctors continue to say, we just simply don't know what's wrong. Father, we pray for them tonight that you might speak, Lord, in their particular situation. Father God, for that grandparent that's trying their best to raise their grandchildren, we ask you, Lord, to speak in that situation. Lord, we ask you for those who are facing unemployment in this season, and they don't understand why it is. I turn in the applications, I go on the interviews, but I continually get the response that, oh, we'll reach back out to you, but nobody ever seems to reach back out. Father, speak in their situation. Father God, we leave here tonight with the understanding that there is nothing that is too great for you. There is no area of our life that is off limits to you. But we lay ourselves before your cross bare tonight and ask you that in any area of our life that has either been mentioned or has not been mentioned, we give you free rein to do what it is that will bring you glory and will be for our good. Speak, Lord, in our marriages. Speak, Lord, in our parental relationships. Speak, Lord, on our jobs. Speak, God, in our companies. Speak, God, in our mental health. Speak, God, in our spiritual health. Speak, God, as we go to, speak, God, as we go in, and speak, God, as we come out. God, speak a word in our life that brings healing to our situations. Lord, we love you, and we thank you so much for all that you do for us and all that you will do. We thank you for giving us the confidence that as we end this prayer, that you have heard us, and that you have the power to speak. Lord, we thank you, and we praise your holy and your divine name. And we, as members of Avenue F, Lord, we pray for the McDermott Road Church, that you might continue to bless them and speak life into this church and help them to become everything that you have called them to be. Lord, we thank you, and we love you so much, and we ask this prayer in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let those that believe say amen. And amen again. God bless you. Amen.